All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. And we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Father. Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with hope and joy, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Open your word to us. Open your message today to us. Help us hear it, Father. We again thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, I want to extend the greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be together again with you all. We just praise the Lord for the opportunity to come together and praise the Lord. This morning we sang this song. The boys' lesson talked about hope. This song that from every stormy wind. Verse 3, it says, there is a scene where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, though sundered far by faith they meet, around one common mercy seat. I was just thinking about this morning the mercy of the Lord and His goodness to us. Let's just open the Bible to, it's 1 Kings chapter 19 in the Septuagint, it's 3 Kingdoms chapter 19. It's a familiar passage, again in verse 9. It says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty since the children of Israel have forsaken you. They tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he replied, go out tomorrow and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord will pass by, and before the Lord, a great and powerful wind will be rending the mountains and shattering the rocks. But the Lord will not be in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord will not be in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there will be a fire, but the Lord will not be in the fire. And after the fire, there will be a sound of a gentle breeze, and the Lord will be there. There'll be a sound of a gentle breeze, and the Lord will be there. In the King James, it says that the voice was that of a still, small voice. We live in a world where there's a lot of racket. There's a lot of commotion. And we miss a lot of things concerning the Lord. The roar takes over. The noise takes over. The loud voice, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, the saying goes. All of this commotion, and much of that commotion is people talking about the Lord. There's fires going on. There's earthquakes going on. There's all kinds of... But the Lord isn't in that. To really see the Lord, and our responsibility to the world, to be the light of the world, is to be that still small voice that people can hear. You know, this morning talking about joy and hope. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And I was just thinking about that this morning, about the joy of our salvation. Do you remember when you were delivered and set free? That it first realized, you first recognized that you had turned from the world and you had been delivered. And the joy that was there when you recognized that you had a hope in the Lord. I remember being delivered. I remember being redeemed. We see in the Bible about these people who the Lord healed, and how He opened their eyes and they had joy because they had a hope in the Lord. And I look around today and I see so many people trying to put into practice the principles of the early church, trying to do what the early church has done and trying to live the way they lived. But they're without joy. There's no joy there. There's no hope. And I'm not talking just about a foolish giddiness. I'm not talking about just a silliness that makes us feel happy, running on our emotions. But I'm talking about a real hope in the Lord, a real joy. There should be comfort in that. There should be a blessing in that. We should know that. The Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is their strength." And I think a lot of times we have to make up for that strength. And we have to fill it with all other kind of things. Different rules or being strict or being whatever. Because we don't have the strength that is available to us. That's where what joy is. Joy is something that gives you strength, that gives you courage, that keeps you dedicated, pressing through, because there's a hope of salvation. And I think a lot of times when that's missing, we have to fill it with something else. We have to fill it with all kinds of things to try to make ourselves strong. But the heart of that comes from the joy of our salvation. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. And this song sang, "From every stormy wind." You know, sometimes we sing songs, and I call them dungeon songs, because they just seem so dark and gloomy. There's a good message in some of them. But you know, the people that were writing some of these songs in the dungeon were full of joy. They weren't, "Oh, woe is me," or "Oh, how dark it is," or "Oh, bad it is." In the darkest place, they had joy. They had comfort. They had peace. They had rest amidst the storm. They heard the still small voice. They heard the voice. The lightning crashing around them, the earthquakes, the storms, all of those things all around them, the fire. But the still small voice was still there. What a blessing it is. Even in the dungeons, there was still joy there. And we sing all these songs and you just hear the heart of the song. There's a hope in them, a joy in them. Well, how do we reflect who God is? How do we see God? How do we hear this voice? Where is it? You know, a lot of people don't experience. They have trouble. They're troubled. They stumble through Christianity without actually just hearing or getting a hold of that voice, that joy. I was talking with a young man this week. He was struggling. And as we were talking, we talked about forgiveness. Some people worry about forgiveness, whether God can forgive them. You ever worried about that? Can I be forgiven? Can I be forgiven? All around this, the storms and the thunder and the earthquakes and the fire are saying, no, you can't be forgiven. Our conscience are just smiting us, and all of this is just going on, and you can't, there's no way you can be forgiven. There's no way. And we listen to that roar, that loud noise that's in our head. But God is not in it. God is not in it. You know, have you ever been forgiven by a human being? And you knew there was no strings attached. You were just forgiven. Have you ever felt mercy from a human being? Someone just extending mercy to you. Someone just being kind to you. Someone just being good to you. Have you ever tasted that? If you know that a human being, as frail as we are, as messed up as we are, can extend mercy to you, can extend forgiveness to you, how much more can God? You think you've done something terribly bad? You think you've just really messed up? And yet someone can say, you're forgiven. And you know it. They've not got a list written down of all your bad things that you've done that they've, I better go back and look at that. Make sure you've done this or you've done that. But you just know. You're just forgiven. If people can do that, do you think God is not up to what people can do? Do you think God can't even be as good as a corrupt human being? God is good. There's how many of the Psalms it says, and His mercy endureth forever. We hear these roars. We hear all the noise. You know, in the evangelical church, they take advantage of all this and they make a lot of noise with love and mercy and all of those things that you can just do whatever you want. But God's not in that. God's wanting to restore our fellowship like this talks about. This verse that we said, there's a scene where spirits blend. How can spirits blend together? By having forgiveness like God offers. You know, everywhere we go, people talk about, oh, we're just unity. We're all in this together. We all need to work together. And then the first thought, they just go their separate ways and can't get along at all. All these people that are crying about diversity and all the things that they want to be accepted. And it's all right as long as you agree perfectly with me. And that's the kind of diversity I want. You agree with me. I don't care what you do. It don't matter that you think different. You're wrong. Unity comes whenever we can be like God. When we can be like God, when we can reflect what God is. That's why he said, why Jesus said, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you can bring it into yourself to forgive, you can be forgiven. Because God can forgive. If you can be merciful, then you can receive mercy. Because God does. And when we reflect that, we're reflecting that quiet reflection that most people never see. It's just amazing to me how many different things in the world reflect this battle and this struggle we're in. Anywhere you see someone that's actually trying to do something right, you see a battle against them. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's political, whether it's anything, there's just a battle that rages. This great loud voice that tries to put down anyone that actually just tries to do something good. And they drowned them out. And yet, that goodness keeps on going. It keeps on. They keep on fighting. You know, goodness will win in the end. It may look like it's being smothered out by the fire and the earthquake and the wind. It may look like it's just dead, but it keeps surviving. You know, one of the most encouraging things to me that there is a God is that there is good that still is maintained in all of that noise. There's still a line of goodness that just speaks quietly, that just very few people can hear or see, but it's there. Men can forgive. Women can forgive. Men can show mercy. Women can show mercy. They can show those little things, those quiet little things that speaks loudly that there is a God that rends the rocks, that does all that, that will prevail. That loud voice that had the election. And there's people that are angry. There's one of the signs that they're holding up is love trumps hate. Love trumps hate. While they're throwing a brick through a window. Making a lot of noise about love, but not displaying it. There's a lot of people making a lot of noise about a lot of things. But it's that quiet, little still voice that just keeps on pressing on, that has a little hope, that has a little joy, that no matter what happens, they just keep pressing on. That will triumph. It'll win in the end. All of the stuff that's going on in the world, everybody's talking about it. You know where God has got His eye? All this commotion, all this election, everybody's involved in it. You know where God has got His eye? He's got His eye on the church. The quiet little church that's just pressing on. They're trying to help people. They're trying to encourage people. They're trying to be that witness. They're trying to be that light. That's what God is watching. And He's watching the people who are trying to destroy it. To see God in all the confusion. Are we listening for His voice? Or are we just in the confusion? Are we actually listening? Or do we get carried away with the fire? We get carried away with the wind. We get shook up by the earthquake. His voice still goes on. It's still just quietly speaking. It's still there. And it's a wonderful thing. And it'll win. Though all the world assail me, and Satan tempt me sore. We've got a hallelujah in there. We've got a goodness in there. A good thing that we can have some joy in, and have some comfort in, and have some peace in. It's a blessing to follow the Lord. It's not a curse. I've said before, I've talked to people and I've asked them what their cross was. And they said, oh, it's following Jesus. That's not a cross. That's the greatest thing in the world. That's a blessing that you can be in a dungeon and still be happy. It's not your cross. The world throws a cross on you. People try to put a cross on you that's heavier than you can bear. Trying to keep you beat down and trying to keep you miserable. Thinking scared to death. That you're not good enough. And God's waiting for you to hear His voice. Wait, there is forgiveness out there. I've seen people do it. Wait, there is mercy out there. I've seen people have it. Wait, there is patience. Because I've seen it in people. And if people can have it, how much greater is there a God that can have it? Our hope is that God is good. Our hope is that God is great. That's our hope. And when we see a little reflection, a little spark of that somewhere, we can see God. You know, there's people that got all kinds of gods and all kinds of hopes in gods. But our hope is that God is who He says He is. That He does love us. And that He does want us to behave. That He does want us to love Him and obey Him. Because of His goodness. The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. When we see that there is goodness in the world, there is goodness in God. That's when we can see there's something worth having a hope in. Not a selfish goodness that, oh, I don't want to go to hell. I'm just going to do this because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. I'm scared that the Lord is going to punish me because I didn't do every little thing. God wants us to be good. God wants us to love Him. And there's pleasure in that. There's joy in that. There's hope in that. Because our hope is that God is good. If there's a good God, if this God is true, and there's this good God out there, He will triumph. You can see that in life, that as powerful as the world can become, as powerful as evil seems to persist, what keeps poking its head up in the middle of all of that? A little hope that there's some goodness. That little voice that keeps popping up. The speakers, the loud blare, the roar. And that little voice that just keeps popping up and messing everything up. Of goodness. It's that goodness that leads us to repentance. That goodness that shows us that the way I'm doing it is wrong. Last week we talked about people just, oh, he didn't show enough repentance. He didn't cry enough. He didn't do this. He didn't apologize to me. All of those things. Turning, getting on a different path is what repentance is. We might not say all the right things and do all the right things to make other people think that I've... But if we just keep following that steady voice, that steady voice, that steady voice, God sees repentance. God, that's the kind of repentance. You just keep being faithful. There's a lot of roar. There's a lot of big booms. There's a lot of excitement sometimes. Oh, we're doing this new. We're doing that new. We're going to do this. We're going to see who can be the this and that. That steady faithfulness that keeps on going until the end. That's where our hope is. He that endures to the end. Enduring like that quiet voice, that goodness that just keeps pressing and pressing and pressing. Keeps popping its head up. Sometimes you don't hear it. Sometimes it gets pretty loud. And sometimes it gets drowned out again. But it just keeps on going. If men can forgive and show mercy as a reflection of God, how much greater is God? How much more merciful is God? That is something to be excited about. To be happy about. That's a good thing. That is something that makes living a life that is worthy of that, worthy of living for. Worth living for. How much greater is God? That's what turns us. It's not the wrong we've done. It's not the times we've messed up. It's not the times we got carried away and went the wrong way. It's His goodness and pressing after it. It's Him. That's where our hope is. God will triumph. The Bible tells us in Revelation that Jesus is going to come back on a great white horse, conquering. There's hope in that. That's our hope. It's not in how well I perform or how holy I can make everybody else think I am. It's not how right I'm doing every little thing. There's no hope in that. There's no hope in that. Our hope is in Jesus. And His goodness. And being like Him. He'll triumph. He'll return. The world is trying to tear us. The world is trying to destroy us. The world is trying to bulldoze through with this, oh, cover this voice up, cover this hope up. Trying to keep it suppressed. And many times, in the name of God, things are so twisted. But that still small voice is still speaking to those who will hear it. And there's great hope in that. There's great victory in that. There's triumph in that. although it may appear to be buried, it will rise again, just like Jesus did. They thought they'd steal that voice when they buried him. But he rose. He rose again. Because you can't kill goodness. You can't kill what's right. May appear buried, but it'll triumph. May the Lord add his blessings. Be that reflection. Be that light of the world. Be that reflection of God in the world. And if we can be that, someone might just hear that voice. Someone might recognize that in us. They just take the time to do it. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. But there's only one still small voice. And it will triumph. All right. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share? All of his commandments hang on. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. True faith seeks that goodness, that it's not about the rules, but if you love your neighbor, you're going to love your neighbor. If you love God, you're going to love him. That's what true faith is, and that's where our hope is. It's not trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. It's loving God with your whole heart. And you'll do the things that He wants you to do. Because all of the things that He wants you to do are centered around goodness. His goodness. They just fall together. It fits. It's not something you have to add on or tack on or try to... It's love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other noise, the religious noise that distorts that. God, help us to be faithful.
God of our strength and throne above, the source of light, the fountain of love, oh, let the ocean sing red flame, our souls obey to your praise thy name. God of
From